Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Today at the United Nations, world leaders are meeting for the Climate Action Summit, a one-day meeting convened by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres in the hopes of establishing a framework to tackle the environmental threat of climate change. And this summit won't just be for government officials. The UN is looking for buy-in from the global business community, too.
The United Nations Global Compact is the UN's business arm. And we have been in existence for almost 20 years, inviting companies to join the UN and to sign up to our 10 principles that relate to human rights, anti-corruption, labor, and the environment.
That's Lisa Kingo, CEO and Executive Director of the UN Global Compact. I spoke with her ahead of today's summit about the group's ambitious goals for the environment, calling on all businesses to pledge to help cap global temperature increases at 1.5 degrees Celsius. I asked Lisa what individual businesses need to do to actually make that happen.
Well, aligning a company to a 1.5 degree trajectory is, of course, very ambitious and very radical. We have more than 600 companies that have already set science-based targets aligned with a 2.4 degree scenario. But after the IPCC report was published earlier this year, clearly calling for a 1.5 degree trajectory, we are very keen to find companies that can be role models and examples and signal that a very ambitious climate strategy aligning with 1.5 degrees Celsius is the new normal for business.
And how many businesses do you so far have signed on to this?
So far, we have 87 major companies with a combined market capitalization of over $2.3 trillion. They represent more than 4.2 million employees from 28 sectors, and they are headquartered in 27 countries. So it's a very diverse and global population of companies, and you both find large multinational companies, but also small and medium-sized companies.
Besides the obvious benefit to the environment, what are businesses getting out of being part of the UN Global Compact? Can they use the UN logo, for example, to bolster their sustainability credentials? Are there other benefits directly for the businesses?
They can certainly do that if they adhere to our 10 principles and report on their progress or dilemmas once a year. I should say today we are more than 9,500 companies across the world, but over the years we have actually delisted more than 6,000 companies for not reporting and being transparent on how they adhere to these principles that are all anchored in UN conventions. So we are quite serious about which companies can use our logo. There are many, many benefits of taking a responsible business approach, addressing responsible business in general. We know that companies that take this approach have a higher creditworthiness, they have a higher market capitalization, and I think it's really nice to see how even within the last couple of months, we are seeing this message really coming true across the U.S.
Allow me to be cynical for a moment. According to the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in order to keep temperatures below 1.5 degrees Celsius, we're going to need to see total carbon emissions at net zero by 2050. I was wondering if that's possible given the fact that oil companies are involved with the UN Global Compact. Canadian firm Suncor Energy is on your list, and they're extracting oil from the Canadian tar sands. Royal Dutch Shell is a participant. How can these big oil companies help us stop warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius unless they're totally moving away from fossil fuel production, which is their very business?
Well, I think it's an excellent question, and many companies that are part of Compact work in industries that are under great transition. That can be in the construction, in the oil and gas, in fashion, in pharma, in food. So the name of the game for many companies today is that they need to transform. Some of these industries will have to make more radical breakthrough innovations in how they develop their products and their business models going forward. And clearly, the oil and gas industry is grappling with how to do that in the best possible way. But I'm also happy to see how much progress we are seeing in the renewable energy sector today, and how this is also being picked up in the car industry and other places. And I think clearly the UN have set a very strong and clear agenda with the 17 goals of where we need to go. Taking the tough decisions just has to be part of any company's transition.
The UN Global Compact is participating in the UN Climate Action Summit. What are you hoping to accomplish?
The whole idea is in doing this is to send a very clear signal that this is the moment to show tipping points on climate, to take radical decisions and be very innovative around how to adhere to the IPCC recommendations. And it will clearly take strong leadership from companies to reach this. We want to show the companies that are the great examples. We also want to show many of the investors that are already now integrating more and more climate as a risk in their investments. And in this way, putting a very strong pressure for companies to be really transparent and ambitious in their climate strategies.
Lisa Kingo is CEO and Executive Director of the UN Global Compact. Lisa, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And we're hearing from you on this. Do you think companies have a responsibility to take a stand on social issues?
Hi, this is Robert Adams from Salt Lake City. Corporations should absolutely take responsibility for political issues. Corporations are so adamant about influencing our politics to the point of marginalizing most of the population. If corporations are people, they need to step up and be responsible citizens and contribute to the greater good, not just enrich themselves.
My name is Jane O'Brien Webster, and I am calling from the Columbia, South Carolina area. So for the most part, I believe that companies should stay out of politics because all these issues are complicated. And if companies take a stand on one side or the other, they will invariably miss the nuances of these issues, and they will use their stands to push their own agendas that deal with money and power.
This is Elaine from Seattle, Washington. When Colt announced that they weren't going to sell AR-15s to civilians anymore, I was so grateful to realize that companies can be responsible for what's happening without requiring government regulation.
This is Fred Brinkley in Waxhaw, North Carolina. Of course, companies and corporations should take a stand on social issues, especially gun control. They employ human beings, so they should be interested in protecting those human beings. They shouldn't let firearms in their businesses. And they should also stop selling military-grade weapons.
As we just heard, the United Nations is mobilizing corporations to move toward more sustainable business practices. But this is hardly the first time corporations have taken a stand on major social and political issues. In the last few years, we've seen more and more businesses speaking out and taking action on everything from gun control to immigration. At a time when lawmakers are at an impasse, the line between business and activism is blurring. Just last week, retail giant Amazon announced the sweeping plan to meet the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement 10 years early, after thousands of its employees prepared to walk out in protest of its pollution and support of fossil fuel companies. Scott Sonnenschein is professor at Rice University's Jones Graduate School of Business, and he joins us now to explain this new wave of corporate activism and whether it's actually leading to real change. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So we just talked about the UN Global Compact and how companies are banding together to act on climate change, and this is independent of government regulation. Wondering how big a deal this is and if it's something that can really make a difference.
Well, anytime the UN is involved, there's going to be a lot of momentum. You've got a number of companies that have signed on to this global compact. But the reality is that a lot of the decision making still rests with the organizations themselves. So some critics see the UN Global Compact as more about symbolism. But the reality is that business organizations are increasingly being interested in engaging in social issues in ways that they haven't been involved in historically.
Do the companies have to meet certain standards? Are they held accountable in any way if they were to just sign this thing and then ignore everything that they promised?
The truth is that there really isn't too much teeth behind this. So what you're seeing instead is companies taking their own strategies and thinking about what issues they do want to support, whether it be the environment or other types of social issues, and they're voluntarily taking actions regardless of what they're doing with the UN.
What other sort of social issues do you see companies getting involved with these days?
Well, in the past few years, you've seen a lot of momentum around issues around income inequality. You're seeing momentum around guns, especially with the retail industry. You're also beginning to see issues around smoking. Actually, Walmart announced that they're going to discontinue selling e-cigarettes. CVS themselves stopped selling cigarettes about 5 years ago. This is pretty remarkable. If you go back to what the traditional role of business is in social issues, you go back to the 1960s where the economist Milton Friedman published this very influential essay in the New York Times saying the only social responsibility a business has is to increase its profits. Well, what you've seen in the last 10 years is really taking positions in ways that some might argue are not necessarily as profit focused as they ought to be. And some might say it's just in light and self-interest. And, you know, which is right, it's really hard to tell.
So what changed? Why did companies decide to take a more active role in some of these issues?
Well, I think there's several different reasons. One reason is that the workforce of these organizations is increasingly being dominated by millennials. And this is a much more purpose-driven generation. So they're trying to be sensitive to some of the interests of their own constituencies. They're also hearing a lot from their own employees about these issues. So previously, a lot of activity on social issues came from outside pressure. So it would be groups like non-government organizations, NGOs, think like Greenpeace, that would be really working from the outside to pressure organizations. Well, that pressure is now coming from within in terms of the employee base. So that's also another big shift. And I'd say finally, I think companies are becoming a little more enlightened in realizing that some of these issues are not being solved by governments in ways that they would like. I think climate change is probably a really good example of that. And there's not enough activity, but this type of issue is going to affect their bottom line. If you're running a facility on the coast, for example, you're going to need to adapt. So they're being more proactive about thinking long term about what these social issues are going to mean for their own business, as opposed to just thinking in the short term.
So Scott, many of the corporations advocating for things like gun control or human rights have been targets of activists in the past. I'm wondering, what's motivating the shift in their behavior today? Is it coming from external pressure or from within?
Yeah, I think it's coming from all fronts, quite frankly. What's happening is instead of just looking out the window and seeing a bunch of protesters, they're seeing a lot of activity within their own organizations through employee interest groups and other ways of trying to influence top management about these issues. And then you also have the social media effect. Now, what's interesting is about 10, 15 years ago, when I first started doing research on this, a lot of these issues were all framed as economic issues where, you know, we should be paying attention to the environment because it makes good business sense. But more recent research has actually shown that the language that employees are using is shifting to talk more explicitly about the values underlying these issues that have nothing to do with economic issues.
Tell me about the recent example from Amazon in which thousands of employees were involved in pushing back on some of Amazon's approach when it comes to the environment.
Yeah, well, of course, Amazon just had their big announcement about being carbon neutral. And as a large consumer of natural resources, you know, they certainly have a big environmental footprint. And again, it would have been unthinkable, you know, even 10, 15 years ago for employees to really be pushing back on management and saying, this is something that we ought to do. This is, you know, a set of issues that Amazon ought to be tackling.
And are there, though, drawbacks for these companies that are supporting causes? Have they been hurt because they've delved into the public arena in this way?
At the aggregate level, there have been, you know, about 200 or so studies that have looked at the relationship between a firm's engagement in social issues and its performance in terms of how much money it makes, how much its stock goes up. And the results, quite frankly, are very inconclusive. There's a number of studies that show a positive effect. There's a number of studies that show a negative effect. There's a number of studies that show this makes absolutely no difference. With so much else going on, it's really hard to isolate what's actually causing what. So I think right now companies are using this ambiguity over the results of these types of initiatives and focusing on kind of what's right in front of them, which is, you know, a bunch of angry people on social media providing a lot of pressure and a bunch of employees saying this is something that we ought to do. And they're capitulating for better and for worse to these types of demands.
And Scott, what do you think the trend is here? Where do you see this wave of corporate activism going next?
I'd say for the time being, issues like the environment are going to be really top of mind as public institutions and government institutions are not doing as much as they probably could be doing to solve some of these problems. Business is really one place where people feel like they have more agency. So as a citizen or an employee, I feel like maybe I can use my organization if my government is not working for me and try and get them to do their part to solve this issue. So, you know, the downside of that is that these efforts aren't really coordinated. So you might have Amazon making an announcement and people might push back and say, you know, it's all for public relations. And, you know, part of it probably is, but they are doing something and that's a start. But the bigger issue is where's the coordinated effort to actually tackle these issues and try and solve them? It's not going to come from one-off decisions or one-off announcements from some companies. We need a much more coordinated effort to deal with the global challenges in front of us.
And if these corporations make a coordinated effort, could that lead to substantial systemic change?
Sure, it absolutely can. So on the environment, if you have a lot of banding together of companies and they hold themselves accountable to these types of standards, you can absolutely start seeing change on these types of issues. Now, of course, government can create the regulatory framework that provides the incentives and the regulations to make this happen probably a lot quicker. But outside of that type of action, that might be our best hope right now.
Scott Sonnenschein is a professor at Rice University's Jones Graduate School of Business. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.